Hello, everyone.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Em.
And welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is Season 3, Episode 5. And today we are discussing The Spanish Love Deception by Elena Armas. Super excited. As always, we will save our ratings until the very end.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions and all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to call them like we read them.
Period. Some trigger warnings for this book and episode include references to sex and nudity on page, sexual content, alcohol mentioned, parents with terminal illness, age gap and grooming relationship, like a teacher and student relationship, slut shaming, bullying, workplace misogyny and sexism, an eating disorder and dieting, fainting, and hospitals. So as always, be sure to take care of yourselves. Spoilers will lie ahead.
If you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here, go read the book, and come back to this episode. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it. The blurb for this book is... Catalina Martine desperately needs a date to her sister's wedding, especially since her little white lie about her American boyfriend has spiraled out of control. Now everyone she knows, including her ex and his fiancé, will be there and eager to meet him. She has only 4 weeks to find someone willing to cross the Atlantic and aid in her deception. New York to Spain is no short flight, and her family won't be easy to fool. Enter Aaron Blackford, her tall, handsome, condescending colleague, who surprisingly offers to step in. She'd rather refuse. Never has there been a more aggravating, blood-boiling, and insufferable man. But Catalina is desperate, and as the wedding draws nearer, Aaron looks like her best option, and she begins to realize he might not be as terrible in the real world as he is in the office. So let me preface this episode by saying that I had already read this book and was in love with this book boyfriend, so keep that in mind as we go through this episode.
I wouldn't say he's made my book boyfriend list, but he is a pretty good one.
He made my top 15 for our bonus episode that we did. I don't believe he's in my top 5, but he made my top 15. I do know that.
I wouldn't put him up there.
I don't remember what number he was, though. No, you would put... Never mind.
I guess we're not getting into it. Is up there for you.
We're not getting into it. You can catch that episode, the bonus episode from... When was that one? Is that March's?
No, March is our... Hear me out. Our book boyfriend ranking, I think, was December.
December? Okay. So you can check that out for December's bonus episode on Patreon.
So, at the beginning of this, looking for a date because she has lied to her family about having a boyfriend that it was going to come to her with to her sister's
Her sister, Isabella. Did you picture Isabel? I don't remember if it was Isabella or Isabel. Anyways, did you picture Luisa and Isabella from, or Isabel from Encanto?
Isabella, yeah, I did.
Okay.
So Lena and her best friend Rosie, and also a coworker, was talking about what she needed, and Aaron, coworker, eavesdrops and decides that he's going to offer his services, I guess you can say.
Is he a prostitute?
Well, she kind of treats him as such, I mean, in this sort of way at first, and then, I mean, obviously it evolves, but, basically looking for somebody because her ex is of the groom sister's fiance. And apparently he's supposedly engaged, which we really didn't go into that storyline too much. Honestly, I would have loved to hear that it was fake because we don't even meet the girl or do anything further with that. I would have loved to kind of make the line a little bit better, different. I don't know. I don't know if it bought anything more or less the story, but I think it turned out to be fake, or if the girl or the fiance showed up or something like that.
Yeah, I think the bathroom confrontation scene, he could have admitted he wasn't actually engaged, something could have spun it out somehow. But in general, I think, though, like, act, the way it was written, added to the pressure for her to show up with someone as opposed to just saying she can be happy and single because he's also happy and single.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I do agree that could have been played on a little bit more.
I definitely did appreciate that Aaron was willing to kind of offer services, even though they like seem to have this hatred relationship going on. I want to talk about that a little bit later when we find out why he was accepting of this hatred relationship. The problem I had, I guess, with why she hated him was just because he said he couldn't work with her. And where in her perspective later on, she describes that she felt like he was saying she was not good enough. Same time, I feel like it was that severe enough where you hate this man for like 20 months straight kind of ordeal. I think it was a little extreme for it. I did not like whenever they went into, or like the heads meeting, whatever you want to call it. They all kind of bully Lena and nobody stands up for her. I had a huge problem with that. That was a big issue that I had. And it really didn't seem like she stood up for herself either. And I get why it was there towards the end, but I even think it could have been done better as well. I think that, like, that she didn't really stand up for herself, but I really thought that we were going to get an involvement on that later in the story. And I really still don't feel like she honestly stood herself at the end anymore. And I'm not sure why that had to be there for that. And, like, maybe a conversation with that kind of her into doing this, or trying to give it to her in like that aspect, and we could have still got the same thing. It didn't have to be a whole chapter about this meeting that really didn't go so far.
I think the sole purpose of that meeting was to set Gerard up, which then sets up that last scene with him, which is really his two main scenes that he's in. I do agree that maybe in the first scene Aaron jumped in sooner, or in the last scene she stood up for herself. Either of those things would have made it better. I do agree with that. I think Lena doesn't really stand up for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Partially, I think, because of those insecurities from the previous relationship with Danielle, which, by the way, I die laughing that they pronounced it Danielle the entire time. And I just think it's funny. I don't know how you could take him ever serious if he said his name was Danielle. I'm just sorry, but I get it because it's like the Spanish accent or whatever, but it's hilarious to me. You couldn't tell me nothing because your name is Danielle. That's what I would tell him every day of my life. Anyway, but I think he was like setting up those insecurities partially to re-highlight how it's impacted her throughout her life because of that. But I agree that it could have been done better.
I really just think that if we were going to really harp on that, there should have been some instance where she took like her power back or something along that lines. But it just kind of like, I mean, even at the end, she just goes to HR and it just kind of fuzzles out from there. I mean, it doesn't really seem like it goes anywhere. And then Aaron kind of swoops in and fights the battle for her. So I don't know. I kind of had a little bit of an issue with that. I do, however, whenever Lena kind of questions Aaron about it, you know, he says, you know, you've never needed anyone to fight your battles, Catalina. That's the one thing I've always respected the most about you. However, you don't really get that scene for that be the case. She kind of just standing up like she's going to stand up for herself and then just kind of lets it go. I'd appreciate that he did step help her with it. But again, we don't really get anywhere with that either. So I just feel like an unnecessary thing. I really mainly had a problem with the beginning, because at the end, I felt like the whole beginning of things that was necessary that we could have saw in the same story if it was shortened or done a little bit differently, could have gotten to the same ending maybe with something a little bit more dramatic.
Reading it the second time for me highlighted there were some things that were drug out more than necessary. I think why she did it, and I don't necessarily that I agree with it, but I think why she did it is because she had to set all that up for Spain to make sense and for us to get a full background. And so the first half of the book is literally just all background, like world building sort of stuff. And in romances, we don't normally get that sort of writing, so it feels unnecessary and different, I think. But I definitely agree that last scene where he comes to the table and he's mouthing off to them, that Aaron could walk up and try to intervene or something, and Lena could have been like, no, I got this. Honestly, I just kept picturing her swinging at Gerard.
Yeah.
To be quite frank. And not that I'm saying that this is an accurate thing or not, but there is a stereotype of Hispanic and Latina women being aggressive or having a backbone. And so I was a little shocked reading this that she was kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
But maybe that was on purpose, or maybe the stereotype's not true. I don't know. Personally, I don't have a lot of Spaniard friends.
My thing is, I did think that too, especially when we meet the family and they say that she's kind of a spitfire, and I'm just like, where? Like, I get that with Aaron, how she's like kind of holding grudge, but even to him, she's not really like mouthing off to him or like doing anything like crazy, kind of huffing and puffing and, you know, him that she doesn't need his help and back off attitude. And then it's not that rude. So I don't know. I don't really know. There was some disconnect with something. Like, I feel like the beginning of the book was one idea of a character, and then the ending of the book was relaying that the beginning character was a different than what was on the page. Maybe she wrote, I don't know. But it just kind of felt like there was a little bit of disconnect between the descriptions of the characters from the beginning to the end. Because, I mean, even the family and herself and Aaron were all describing her as this other person that, in the beginning, that was not what was described. So, I don't know.
Well, and like, I know I agree, because this idea of her being a spitfire back home is not even accurate if we look at the circumstances of the fact that she ran.
Yeah.
When the whole college thing happened, she dipped out and didn't confront the people, didn't confront Danielle, none of that. So, I don't know if she was trying to like so actively play against that. But then, like, when she was writing from their point of view, like, the family and stuff, she forgot she was, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I agree there is some contradictory, for sure.
I mean, throughout the whole thing, we didn't really get spitfire from her at all, other than kind of...
Only really with Aaron.
Yeah, but, I mean, if she really was a true spitfire, we would have seen that in every aspect of her life. Work, we could have gotten a little bit more aggressive, like, I want this project, this is my project, I'm going to do this project, kind of, like, attitude. And it still seems like she kind of, like, just kind of rolled over and just took whatever was coming at her. And after he...
Would have need Gerald, at the minimum, in that last scene.
Yeah.
Need him in his balls.
Lena is on the phone in the office after later on. Aaron walking into the room to give her some paperwork, and she's on the phone with her mom, and she ends up saying Aaron's name is the person coming with her. So that pretty much confirms that Aaron's gonna go along and straw that out too much. Like, even there was a little bit too back and forth. Like, the full whole first chapter was basically whether or not she was going to choose him or somebody else. And then we just go on for 4 chapters. And I'm just like, okay, let's get this going. I find it that they kind of make a tit-for-tat agreement where he says, you come with me to some big event and I'll go with you to Spain. It's kind of an uneven balanced thing, which she did too.
Yeah.
He ends up taking her to a charity event.
One where he's being auctioned off. I think that was like, I think it was an excuse for him to spend more time with her.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't actually have to have a date. But also think that it gives us our first glimpse of Aaron and his personality outside of the office and what Lena has seen so far.
Yeah. I just expected, if we're going tit for tat agreement a little bit more. And even then, like, he promised her after she wins him in the auction, we don't have to go on a date or whatever. But he mentions taking her to Humane Society or animal shelter, and we never get that. So it would be nice to even have, like, at the ending, like, them going to the shelter and maybe adopting a dog or, you know, that lines. Like, I feel like I could have maybe got a little bit from that, but... I just, again, it was something unnecessarily mentioned that we didn't ever get a follow-up with.
Hang on. For some reason, I thought... Maybe I made that up in my head. For some reason, I thought we got that scene, them going to the animal shelter.
I know you talked about the...
No, I was going to say in the next book.
Okay, okay.
But I just looked it up and it wasn't in there either, so maybe I made that up in my head.
We end up finding out, though, that the event is, the charity auction is hosted by some people in the NCAA football kind of group. And so I don't really think, I have to say, I guess the disappointing part of it was one of Aaron's friends. And I would have liked a little bit more background with Aaron's friend, along with even Lena's friend. We did get a little bit more of Rosie than we do of his friend TJ. But TJ, I mean, his dad, I would have loved to be able to see her, like, go on a date with his dad and, like, have, like, that kind of moment. There was just some things we talked about that we just never got follow-up with that actually were a storyline to connect to the characters at the beginning of the book a little bit. I just really wanted that connection with him, and I really feel like with TJ, kind of his humor, or TJ's dad, with him being, like, the sweet old man, we would have been able to really evolve and learn more about the characters a lot more to get somewhere as far as that goes.
I think I would have liked she wins the date with dad and tells Aaron that she's going on a date, but she only says his last name. Aaron thinks his friend has asked her out or something.
Yeah.
And really it's the old man. And then, like, Aaron shows up at the date, like, jealous or something. I'm always for the drama, but really it's with the dad, and he's, like, made a fool of himself. Because, like, I wanted it to be more obvious that, like, he was into her already. There could have been better hints. I mean, there were some at that charity night, but that's kind of it before we go to Spain. That it's more than just friends, you know.
Well, before that, but she talks about how he's pretty much stone-faced. So, I mean, there really wasn't much emotions other than, like, a here and there where she, like, caught staring at her or something like that dramatic to, like, oh, he's into her kind of attitude, yeah. If you didn't know what this kind of book was, really.
Right, but if you'll notice, he makes comments about you always have a snack in your hand, or things he's noticed about her, what she likes, what she doesn't like. These little things slowly get us there that he's interested, but when I first read it, I honestly was like, is he autistic? Is that why he has a flat affect? Because that's how it was described. I don't think that's what it really is supposed to be saying, but that's how it's written.
Yeah.
And so I wondered, is that where we're going? Which would be fine. But if that's not where we were going, it didn't make sense to me. I do agree, though. The beginning, once they go to Spain, through the end of the book, I honestly don't know that I have a single complaint. Maybe one or two, but small ones. No major complaints. But the beginning of the book, I agree, could have been done a little bit differently, and I think would have pulled you in sooner and made the whole thing a good fast-paced read as opposed to a slow start.
Yeah.
Jump in.
I mean, you can tell just by, if you're watching my tabs, the book has very few and then the ending has a whole bunch. Like, it really wasn't, I was trying to find things to beginning is like important information or like it honestly was said that was kind of offensive, to be honest, is kind of the summary of the beginning. Like, just, I get what she was trying to do, to be honest. I just think that honestly, she probably could have shortened most of the beginning of the book and hit it harder in those moments to really make it better than what it was. I'm not saying it was terrible because, I mean, I enjoy the book overall, but it was really hard for me to really just, like, want to read it at the beginning. And then once I got to that Spain part, all of a sudden I was like, okay, I finished it in, like, a few hours. I wanted that the whole book, and so to kind of not have it the whole book was a little disappointing, but it knocked off like 0.25, so.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, I've read plenty of where we are doing the world building and it doesn't make a lick of sense. It doesn't really set up anything.
To me, you say the world building, but honestly, most of the book takes place in Spain, so we didn't even get the world.
Well, by world building, I mean like all of the characters, the setting the scene for their job, what they do. They live in New York, but like where they each live.
I still like feel like once we got to Spain, we could have gotten the same thing. Like, I think we could have, if we could have had, like,
I don't know that we could have gotten it at Spain. I think the beginning could have been written differently and we could have gotten it quicker.
Yeah. I feel like we could have probably established Aaron and her relationship, what they did for a living, like why she was kind of feeling a way of having to invite somebody. I could think we could have bunched that into about four chapters and maybe added like an in as just like a more of like a character development sort of thing and added maybe two chapters with that. And then we would have been in Spain. I feel like we could have done it a little bit shorter to get there. Or I would have even liked a little bit more of like the office aspect where she's kind of finding her voice, like maybe she's new to the company and she's trying to find her voice as a woman in this business. Even that, I think, would have character built a lot better for me than what it kind of was.
That's fair. I don't disagree.
So, right before we end up going to Spain, attends a company meeting, and as they're sitting there, Jeff, her current boss, announces that Aaron will take his spot, making him now Lena's boss, which a little bit more that she apparently had a similar relationship in her past. She decides that basically she can't do it. She's just going to basically, they broke up, like he's held up, something excuse to not.
He's having none of that.
Yes.
I will say that, even if it was a slow start and could have probably been done better, the entire time, even with Mr. Grumpy Robot, he was hot. The things he knew about her when they weren't even friends, hot. The way he took care of her, hot. The way he just, hot.
I have to say,
The entire
once,
time.
like literally, once we get to Spain and we start learning about everything that he's observed of her, and even like we do a little bit of a hint whenever she has the fainting episode in the office, we get a hint of that. And he, answers for a sister or her sister and
He
like
buys
thanks
her an
her.
extra taco.
Yeah, like we get some of
It's there.
those kind of instances, but really, once we really get the instances, I honestly liked a little bit more of them. And it's like she hates him over maybe that just hypothetically instance where she hated him in the first place, but he's like trying to like hack through a wall of hatred and like hear this whole thing or whatever, which I mean he did like I think 3 times in the beginning, but I even then I think because we got loved bombed so much at the end, we could have gotten a little bit more of that towards the beginning to make us fall for him a lot sooner than what we did.
See, but if you act, I think, I don't know, maybe rereading it a second time helped too, I don't know. But, like, he comes in there to help her with the project. We don't realize it quite yet at that time, but it's because he's already been in love with her. We don't know that it's a he's already fallen in. Like, we don't know that because we don't know how the book is set up until later that he's already been in love with her. He could be falling in love later, I guess, before you read the book. You don't know. But once you know he's actually falling in love, you see those little things happening. Like, he stays late to drive her home. He stays late to make sure she gets all these little things or whatever that she's not recognizing as that, but really it is. And like he says later, he would walk by or do something every day just to be able to see her. She doesn't see it that way. So like there's little things in there too that I think were not as obvious to the reader that that's what his intentions were. And so maybe that's why it doesn't hit the same way. Because like I know the first time reading it, I thought of him helping plan the event, I thought he was doing that because of the way Gerald acted in the meeting. You
Yeah,
know, he
same.
felt bad about it, and so he was doing that. But I mean, it is partially that, I think, but it's also partially because he's in love with her and he just can't resist stepping in to help her and take a load off, which is so hot. But I don't think it was as obvious on the first read, and I think that's where the author might have went wrong.
I think you're right, because I mean, looking back on it, and honestly, I think I would have even liked it if it was almost like Merlina discovering that for the first time, but I don't feel like whenever she worded it towards the end was kind of what happened. I don't know how to describe how we could have gotten there. It could have been done a little bit differently, maybe at the end, to make us realize that the same, but it wasn't even like, oh my God, like I read that and I mean that's what he was doing, that's why he did that. It wasn't even honestly I mentioned things that we weren't even reading on the page. Like we never read about him her bringing the mug to him. Like we knew he had bought him a gift and but we never got that interaction of that. We would have read that from her perspective and then honestly got his perspective. I think it would have been like an aha moment. But
I
I
agree.
think that it was just lacking in that aspect a little bit.
I agree, and I think they have the conversation about what she overheard him saying to Jeff, like in his apartment when they get back from Spain. That moment would have been perfect to backtrack and go over the timeline of what's happened, and her realize he really has been trying this entire time. Oh my gosh, I never realized that's what he was doing, sort of moment. Even if it was like in her own thoughts or when she's mopey and sad after she thinks they're gonna have to break up or whatever, because Gerald is a horrible person. After that incident again, like at that point, maybe she goes back over and been like, oh my gosh, he's loved me all this time and he did this and he did, you know, whatever, like to Rosie or something to make it a scene. But we don't get that. And I agree that if we had gotten that, I think it would have made the reader realize the first round that, oh wait, like we did read that and I didn't realize that's what he was doing or, you know, whatever. So I agree. Because the second round, it kind of stood out a little bit more to me now that I knew he had already been in love with her. I will say, though, that man is delicious. I feel like he was like number 7 or 8 on my. He might have been a little bit lower.
I honestly don't remember. It's been so long ago since we did that.
Somewhere in there, like 8 or 9, maybe. I know I have him and Lucas, which is the American Roommate Experiment, the second book, which follows Rosie and Lucas's story. I know I have Lucas on that list as well. Because Lucas cooks. And let me tell
you. It's kind of disappointing we don't get TJ after we get introduced to him.
Oh, I don't know if there's... I don't. There's other books, but they're not connected to this series, so it must not. There might not be. They must not be about him.
Hmm.
I agree, because actually, I would love to have TJ's story. But in TJ's story, we also get things about his dad and whatnot.
Hmm.
I agree. This one is slow burn between Adeline and Cameron. This one is Josie. And Matthew. Not TJ. And that's it. There's just those two for now. You would think, though, that they would be...
I feel like we learned more about TJ than we did out of anybody.
Oh, and you know what? So, Spanish Love Deception and the American Roommate Experiment are considered the Love Deception series. And The Long Game and The Fiancé Dilemma are the Green Oak series. Those two must have characters that overlap, but they don't overlap with The Spanish Love and The American Roommate Experiment. So we don't have TJ so far. Doesn't mean she's not going to potentially write TJ's story, but as of now, I don't see that she's written it. Wait a minute. Okay, well, she has a rom-com audiobook called Know Your Newlywed, and Tyler Posey is actually the voice of the guy in it. Mm-hmm. That's fun. Fake marriage. Okay, anyways, but yeah, still not TJ. So, no, as of right now, she has not written TJ's book. It does not appear. But I agree. That would be interesting, and I would like to have some of TJ's dad's story in there, too. He was like a sweet old man. Like, whether or not he went on that date with that woman from the charity. Like, yeah, like, I would just love to know.
Maybe she could write a book about TJ and some woman from her dad and that lady's wedding.
You're assuming a lot from one charity date.
No. They end up falling in love.
Or the dad and the woman could go on the charity date on the boat. Something happens. He has to go to the hospital. And while TJ's going to visit him, he meets a hot doctor.
That,
because he's an athlete. So an athlete and a doctor, that'd be hot.
That starts off a lot more gruesome than mine. Mine was much more happier.
His wife died. I don't know if he's going to get remarried.
Could.
I don't know if that was the intent of being auctioned off. Maybe.
All right, so they're at the airport, and Lena, they're waiting for Aaron, and Aaron is not early. She thinks that he's decided not to come. She has a little bit of, like, a panic attack. He stood her up. She kind of has, I would say, PTSD kind of reflection of, like, people just being there for her. And she, as soon as she sees or he calls for her, she throws around him in a very relieved moment. He kind of scolds her a little bit for not believing that he would have shown up. That was kind of the first wall, I would say, being broke down on Lena's part. Didn't really tell him why that she feels that way, but it definitely, I think, opened up that a little bit to where we kind of learned a little about Aaron, that he was a footballer who hanged for some reason. And so they decide that on the plane ride there, they're going to kind of get to know each other and her family a little bit better. So that way they play this fake relationship a letter in which, you know, basically she asked for every detail on every one of her sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles. It was a little bit crazy that she expected him to remember it all. But they just on their pet names as well, which he decides to call her baby, and she called me bear in Spanish, which I do find funny because I did imagine him like a super like like a Cassian kind of built, because they describe him as like this big old guy. So I was kind of, which I mean, she kind of be a little bitty as well. So I did think it was very fun.
I agree. I also liked that. I thought it was cute how she was quizzing him in this scene, as opposed to like her just teaching him. It was cuter for her to be quizzing him. And then it was even cuter because he got everything right. He was exasperated that she didn't think he would know it too. Like he was like, come on now. Like, he was almost like, you think I'm not going to take homework seriously kind of attitude. It was nerdy and cute. Also, did it not warm your heart that he learned Spanish, or like re-upped his Spanish? I was like,
honestly, though, they talked about how expert he was, and I was like, I don't think you get that for just a few weeks of learning.
No, he said that he learned it in high school or college, maybe, and then so he was like a refresher. But I agree. I don't think he was that.
I touched the Spanish, and I could not tell you, like, today, next week, I would be, like, perfect at it. But
anyway. Yeah, no, I agree. I did, too. I agree. But I thought it was adorable that he even attempted. That was cute.
When they land, she has a panic attack. Not sure she can go through with the whole deception situation. He puts his hands on her and he says, you're not on your own anymore. It's you and me now. We're in this together and we've got this. So sweet.
I love that. You know what we forgot? Well, I don't know that we forgot it. The bakery scene. The day before they go to Spain.
Oh, yeah. Runs into her and pays for her.
He buys her one of everything.
She pretty much says, I'll take one.
He goes with it. And he's like, that's fine. Whatever she wants. He's like, are you going to share? And she's like, no. And he's like, okay,
no, whatever. That went to waste because they went to Spain the next day. There's no way she ate all of that.
No, I bet she ate it. Yeah. Fellow Big Back over here. I would eat all of it if I ordered it. I will say, though, that the quote in that scene about, let me just look it up. I'm gonna blush thinking about it. This was one of the first books I read when I got, like, back into reading. And, like, one of the first, like, smuttier books that I read and was, like, shook. So, the scene in the...
Her begging.
By him begging, yes. The scene in the thing, is he says, always fighting me, resisting me. It's like you want me to beg. Is that something you'd enjoy, me begging? Is that what this is? You like bringing me to my knees? I literally screenshotted that part of the book when I was reading it the first time and saved it in my phone. Because I was like, oh, okay. I was like, woo, we getting, I thought that was the spiciest it was going to get. And then lo and behold, I was wrong. That's one of my favorite quotes, though, however, like, of like a, it's not a spicy scene in of itself, but like that tension building and like this, like, I don't know. I just thought it was really, we were at a point that she had no idea that he was even into her yet. And so she's like, whoa, where did that come from? But like, she's also like, that was hot. Like, let me get out of here with my triple chocolate chip brownie because this is getting sticky. Like, it was just, it was almost like innocent but not kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, teasing. I don't know. It was just fun. But that's a quote that has been unrivaled since I've read it. It was really good.
So, will we get the one bed trope? Will the love deception work out? And where does their love end up?
Sorry to leave you on that cliffhanger. We'll be back with episode 6, which is part 2 of the Spanish Love Deception, on April 11th. It's you.
Tune in for that episode to catch our final thoughts and ratings. In the meantime, catch up on our other episodes on all of the podcasting platforms available.
Season 3 is back with weekly episodes. So what we're going to do is 2 books each month, and they're split into 2 parts. Now we'll have every Friday have an episode that comes out. If there's a 5th Friday, it will be a bonus episode. If there's not a 5th Friday, we'll have random days of the month. We release a bonus episode each month. You can also get access to extra content, a community chat, and more on Patreon.
You can also send us book suggestions, comments, or general inquiries to our email at likewereadthem@carlmpodcast.com. You can also join us on Fable, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement from us and the latest news.
We appreciate tuning into this episode, and we can't wait to hear your thoughts. Don't forget to join us over on Fable to discuss as we read. And as always, we promise to crawl them like we read them.